Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we talk about the generosity of God and our response to it. But first, let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, would you meet with us in your scripture and confirm your unfailing love to us? By your precious Holy Spirit, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Give us strength to walk in your ways so that our lives may be lived for your glory. In Jesus' name, Amen. Our reading for today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verse 36 to chapter 8, verse 3, and I'm reading from the NIV. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had money to pay him back, so he cancelled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this that even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." After this, Jesus traveled from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some woman who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Just to there, and may God bless his word to us this day and always. The life of the believer is marked by gratitude in response to the generosity of God. And gratitude as a state of being grateful or thankful is demonstrated by, firstly, worshipping God as we do privately and corporately in church, as well as, secondly, by an authentic, practical Christian lifestyle, so that the indwelling Christ might be revealed to those around us. We do this because God is Spirit, and in order for us to worship Him in spirit and in truth, we have Scripture to guide us so that by faith we can offer Him our worship and gratitude in a way that is acceptable. But what is acceptable to God? Look at what happened to Jesus in our story. It seems that He did not recoil at the attention He was receiving from this woman. There is no comment in the text to indicate that he thought it was inappropriate or unacceptable. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4-5, Peter encouraged the church, saying, "As you come to him, Jesus, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So without getting weird, perhaps we could revisit the extent to which our gratitude and worship is acceptable in God's sight. John Calvin elaborated on this by saying, Among spiritual sacrifices, the first place belongs to the general oblation or sacrifice of ourselves. For never can we offer anything to God until we have offered ourselves in sacrifice to Him. Now, in our reading, a woman is the focus of events. What is odd to us is that she could find a way into the house of this Pharisee at all. But we discover that in those times, it was not unusual for uninvited guests to be found at a feast. It was also not unusual that when a rabbi, and this is what Jesus was taken to be, was invited to someone's house, others could stop by and listen to the conversation. And so it was that among them was this woman who was known locally to be a prostitute. And because of the way the people ate together in those days, reclining as they did, it was not very hard for her to reach Jesus. She was very clear about what she wanted to do, because we read how she, knowing Jesus was there, brought with her this alabaster jar of perfume. When she got there, a most unusual series of events unfold. Standing behind Jesus at his feet, she begins to weep, so much so that her tears wet his feet. She then proceeded to wipe his feet with her hair, kissed them constantly, according to the Greek, as a sign of utmost respect, submission, and affection, and then she poured perfume on them. Her tears are not born out of grief, so much as they were from a sense of deep gratitude. The grief that may have been there was turned into joy, because her many sins were forgiven. Often people, upon reflecting on their past without God, may experience grief at the great waste of their lives, or the negative impact their actions had on others or the world. But this gives way, ultimately, to an overwhelming sense of gratitude that comes from knowing that God loves and forgives completely the repentant heart. Think for a moment about slave trader John Newton, who came to faith in Jesus. Despite his regret for the wretched life he had lived, and he wrote of himself, saying, "I sinned with a high hand, and I made it my study to tempt and seduce others." Despite that, he became a committed and grateful follower of Christ. The fruit of his deep, deep gratitude lives on in the church today. Four of at least the 280 hymns he wrote, among those well-known hymns, are "Amazing Grace," "Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken," and "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds." And so, through God's Holy Spirit, gratitude leads to a profound desire to live in the light of God's love and forgiveness, no longer wanting to live a lie, no longer wanting to live in the darkness, instead to only serve God in the light as best as one can. Coming back to this scene in our text then, there is no doubt that this was an uncomfortable situation, even more so if we thought about it from our modern day perspective. It was certainly not an everyday way of being treated, but the woman was beyond caring what people might think of her. She had found rest at Christ's feet. She had found peace in his presence because of the forgiveness she had come to know. Nevertheless, we can understand that the Pharisee was disturbed by the way in which Jesus accepted the show of love and respect given by such an undesirable person and in such an astonishing way. If the Pharisee ever thought Jesus was perhaps a prophet, his hopes were now truly dashed. If Jesus was any kind of prophet, he thought to himself, he would never let an unclean person touch him. And the fact that he did let her touch him proved that he could not be a prophet. But Jesus showed his prophetic side by revealing the thoughts and intents of Simon the Pharisee's heart. He proceeded to tell a brief parable that deals with the love and forgiveness of God, two of the profoundest acts of generosity on the part of God that humanity could ever be exposed to. It's at this point we need to clarify a slight chronological problem in the story with regard to what this woman's experiences were with reference to her love for Jesus and the forgiveness of her sin. Luke chapter 7 verse 47 is difficult because Jesus says to Simon the Pharisee, "Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much." On the face of it, it seems that Jesus was saying the woman was forgiven much because she loved much, rather than the reverse. but it is clear from a scriptural perspective that the correct meaning is that she must have been forgiven much, since it is evident she loves much. Her great love for Jesus illustrated or proved her forgiveness. As such, her love was not the reason why she was forgiven, but her sins had already been forgiven. Her faith had saved her. In support of this, scholar Alfred Edersheim makes this comment about the woman. She had no doubt heard his words that day. What he had said would be in substance, if not in words, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And of course, the brief parable conclusively supports this perspective on the order of things as well. So, the greater the size of the debt that had been cancelled or forgiven, the greater would be the love of the one who owed it toward the one who had cancelled or forgiven the debt. As we draw to a close then, do you remember the life you came from before knowing Christ? Perhaps you did not have a specific salvation moment. Nevertheless, we can look back and see how our faith became certain with respect to Jesus' atoning work on the cross touching our lives, and then how we lived with a profoundly deep love for God as a result. With regard to Simon the Pharisee, it's important that we don't completely write him off because of the way Jesus compared his actions with those of the woman. Neither should we think that his treatment of Jesus as his guest was completely impolite. It would seem that, in keeping with normal custom, he had performed the necessary duties of hospitality, but had not gone out of his way to give Jesus a very special welcome. Nevertheless, it did stand in stark contrast to the grateful devotion this woman lavished upon Jesus. And do you know that the term to love is the Hebrew phrase for to show gratitude? So again, we must assume that the woman had previously heard and accepted the gospel message by faith. In the end, to love Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior is to be grateful for the generosity of God, not just as an emotion, but by living in obedience to his words. And so we are called to live in God's generosity as generous people as well, in every sphere of our lives, church, home, work, and with friends. Why? Because so great is the forgiveness of God towards us. Therefore, so great should be our gratitude. May God help us all then, in the exercise of our grateful response to his immeasurable generosity toward us, through Jesus his Son. Amen. Let's pray. How great are you, Lord! How great is your mercy! How great are the things that you have done for us! Your loving kindness fills our hearts. How great is your love that reaches to the heavens! How great is the heart that sought and rescued us! We are forever grateful for your immense generosity through Jesus Christ your Son. Help us to show it in everything that we do. In his name we pray it. Amen. And God bless you.